Because when you get such a high quantity of picks, the value of them goes down.
It's inflation.
There it is.
I'm thinking macroeconomics, baby,
I
right
hate
now.
economics, but
This is the inflation of first round picks by the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I've never seen this before, Anna.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Nerd Speak podcast, or just not. Nerd Speak. I don't know.
Both words.
Today is March 26th. It's a Friday. We are doing our midweek episode right now. It's a player breakdown of Julius Randle. We will get into that a little bit later because we do want to keep these midweek episodes pretty short, but there's been some huge NFL news that we just want to touch on really quickly. And it all involves Miami Dolphins. Miami Dolphins had the number 3 overall pick from the Laremy Tunsil trade, who they only got because the infamous video of him with the gas mask smoking weed, came out, and then he fell to them at 12. Giants, I think, took Eli Apple in that trade, I mean, in that draft.
Perfect.
Fitting. But, so, then they traded Tunsil to the Texans. They got a couple firsts. One of those firsts ended up number 3 this year. Texans definitely could use that given the whole Deshaun Watson situation. But Dolphins have it. Dolphins then traded back to 12 with the San Francisco 49ers, who are jumping up in the draft looking to get a quarterback. And they got a first-round pick this year, a third-round pick this year, and then the Niners first for 22 and 23, which is wild. Yeah. A ton to get. Obviously, the Niners are high on one of these quarterbacks. And I'm guessing that there was probably a bidding war for that number 3 pick. I think I would assume Carolina was in on that pick and probably even the Pats. But
makes sense.
So Niners ended up, you know, paying the toll. And then the Dolphins used those new first round picks to trade up with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think that they gave the Eagles a first round pick next year, the 12th pick. And I think that they swapped thirds.
Fourth, I think.
They swapped fourth round picks this year and swapped first round picks this year, and then the Eagles got an extra first to go up to 6. So there's obviously a lot of moving pieces here. I think you'd agree this guarantees quarterbacks 1 through 3. I mean, yeah. No doubt. I think we all know it will be Lawrence at 1. Then I think Zach Wilson at 2. I think the Jets are really high on him. I would take him too. And then I know a lot of people think it's Fields, because I do think Fields is better than Lance, but there have been a lot of reports tying Lance to the Niners. He's a really good fit there. And with the new report from Adam Schefter, that a Niners source said Jimmy Garoppolo is their guy this year. And that points to them, whoever they draft, sitting under Jimmy for a year, and the guy who needs the most time to develop in this draft, I would say, is Trey Lance, given his ceiling is sky high. But, you know, Justin Fields is probably more NFL ready, so I think that I think that Lance could very well be the pick at 3. So what are your thoughts on the Niners part of the trade?
Yeah, sure. I think all the Jimmy G, like, reports coming out right now are, like, completely unserious. I don't take any of them, like, for anything. I mean, I don't see a world where Kyle Shanahan goes back and puts Jimmy Garoppolo as a starting QB week 1, given where that team's at right now, how average he's been proven to be. I think he'll go for Justin Fields. I want to see either of them in that offense. I think Shanahan can make either work. You have really good weapons, Kittle, Debo, and Ayuk. Still a good defense, even without Salah. You got a lot of your players back. I like that a lot for San Francisco. And Jeremy brought this up in my mentions earlier, but the picks, right? Like, you see a first-round pick, you're going like, oh, that's, like, a lot of value. But the Niners are probably going to be in the playoffs, right? The West looks really weird right now, NFC West. So I think it makes sense, capitalize on your window. I like it for Miami a lot, too. I think we knew they weren't going to take a quarterback. They want to build around Tua. So getting an extra first-round pick, staying in that top 7 range where you can still get an offensive tackle, you can get a wide receiver, Pitts maybe even. I don't think they'll take Pitts, actually. But either or, right? It makes sense for Miami. I think Philly did really well here, too. Mm-hmm. They committed to Jalen Hurts for next year. You get an extra first-round pick. You swap Fords. You're only moving back like six spots, and this wide receiver class is so deep to the point where I think we both agree one of them is going to be there at 12, right? So
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that I know that teams trading up for non-quarterbacks gets a lot of crap, and deservingly, but teams rarely have the assets that Miami had. Like, Miami's playing with house money. Like, basically, they ended up trading down to six for a first next year and, I think, a third. I mean, that's a good trade. Like, you would make that trade. And you also got to remember, they lose out on Penei Sewell, probably. That's what my guess is. My best guess is, you know, I know that there was some of the Slater talk. I love Slater, but I think they hope that it'll probably be Sewell to the Bengals at five.
They took Jackson last year, too, so yeah.
Yeah. Atlanta's at four. I think the fourth pick, whether it's by Atlanta, whether Atlanta trades down with Carolina, whether they trade down with the Pats, something, I think the fourth pick goes quarterback as well. I think whoever the Niners don't take between Fields and Lance, I think goes four. So now you're in this position where basically the draft starts at five. I mean, and there are some elite players in this draft. You have Penei Sewell, who I think goes five. Then the Dolphins draw up their pick of Ja'Marr Chase, Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, Rashawn Slater if they want to show up the line, and Kyle Pitts. So did I say Pitts? No, I didn't say Pitts. So those five guys, and then like you said with the Eagles, it goes, you know, Chase at six, then I don't know, Pitts at seven, Smith at eight. I don't think Denver or the Cowboys are going to take a wide receiver. So those two teams are out. And then all of a sudden, between 6, 7, 8, and 11, there are four slots. And if any of those teams decide to pass on a wide receiver, on one of the top three wide receivers or Kyle Pitts, one of those guys should fall to the Eagles. So
yeah.
I think that they get an asset and they get a guy that that you could have justified them taking at six. I think any of those four guys you could justify at six, no matter who's on the board. They're all those A-list guys. Or, you know, the Eagles, like their worst case scenario, they would still be able to get like a, I think Micah Parsons could fall down there. He very well could, because I do think Detroit's probably going to go wide receiver. And then I really see Denver and Dallas, definitely Dallas. I think that Surtain or Farley is the Cowboys. They need.
Yeah, I think Farley's help, really. Dropping in mock drafts, actually.
I know J.C. Horn's on his way up.
J.C. Horn's going to help. I think Surtain makes the most sense, though, for Dallas there. Just get like a plug in the corner.
Yeah, because he's very NFL ready.
Yeah, right. And then my last point I want to make, Philly losing week 17 makes sense for them. Like, they got an extra first-round pick. But anyways, my main thing you talked about you talked about with Miami earlier, how they're actually like using their assets to kind of move around in the draft, right? And I think it's a good point, kind of transition to the NBA here. The Thunder are like stuck with like 17 first, right? In like the next 8 years or whatever.
Yeah.
I think they've reached a point where that's like diminishing returns now. I don't know how you get like pure, because like, say, like, they want to trade for someone now, right? And, like, a GM's like, all right, you have 17 first-round picks. You're not going to use all of them. So instead of one, we want, like, two or three, right? I don't know. It's weird. I get
the value of the pick takes a hit.
Yeah, right. It's just, like, because when you get such a high quantity of picks, the value of them goes down.
It's inflation.
Like, there it is.
I'm thinking macroeconomics, baby, right now.
I hate economics, but yeah.
This is the inflation of first-round picks by the Oklahoma City Thunder.
I've never seen this before, and I'm really curious to see how it plays out because, like, you have 17 first-round picks.
Yeah, they're not going to – they can't use them all. They don't have enough players.
That's more than enough to build a whole roster.
I mean, like – if we had to guess right now, they have 17 firsts in the next 7 years. How many of them do they pick?
I got to say like 8 or 9.
Yeah, I'd say around not 8,
right?
9, 10.
Because
they can't do 17.
Yeah, and if you're not trading up with those picks, like why'd you get all of them?
They also have 17 second-round picks.
Yeah,
they're not going to use a single one of those.
That's the other thing. Because now, like, say, all right, like my point earlier, like you want to trade for this player, you also have 17 second-rounders. Like, give them to me. You're not going to use all of them.
Dude, it's like they can just – and they're going to suck. That's the other thing. Like, they got Shea. but that's it.
Yeah.
Like, that team is bad. I know Lou Dort.
That's not. It's bad. It's just bad.
It's a bad team. It's they're going to be bad. So they're going to have really high picks. They could basically, I think, for the next, like, 4 years, just have the first pick every year. Like, if they wanted. Because they'll end up with, like, a top 10 pick in the lottery. And then they'll be like, okay, this and then take your pick. We have 17. You can have whatever you want. And then, like, okay. Like, it's just, it's a wild situation. But, yeah, so I think that we talked about last week, we're going to have a lot of NFL draft coverage. Because basically, like, I think I talked about it on the show, but it's like the sport world moves in cycles. Like, there was the NBA trade deadline, obviously, which is a pretty big deal. But it's like, the NFL is all the talk during free agency, and then and then into the draft, and then as soon as May 2nd comes around, we're not going to be talking about the NFL for 3 months, four months. Like, no. It's just a
get used to it.
Yeah, it's just like so. This is the NFL time. Then comes NBA playoffs, NHL, and then MLB. Then MLB trade deadline, and then then the NBA offseason, NHL offseason, and then the MLB trade deadline, and then just baseball is the only sport going on. Then football starts again. Like, it just. There's just all these cycles. But, so moving on to the main point of the day, Julius Randle, the New York Knick, who has – I mean, he's got to be the favorite right now for most improved player. He was an all-star this year, first time in his career.
I think the betting market's finally just shifted towards him for, like, MIP, which I'm kind of surprised that, you know, he wasn't there before, like, as a favorite.
And he's a Knick, you know.
Yeah.
Usually they kind of almost lower the Knicks stuff because of that, because so many people like betting on the Knicks to make it harder. I mean, make the odds of them getting it higher. But, I mean, the dude has been an absolute freak. Like, I do think that he was – I think I hated him last year. Like, in all honesty, I genuinely hated him. I thought
me too.
He didn't know how to pass. He was a ball hog. He got some sort of numbers. He averaged 19.5 points a game on
it's like empty numbers.
46% shooting. Let me see where his true shooting was. 54% true shooting. Like you said, very. It was just empty numbers. Like he wasn't contributing to the wins. He was just kind of getting good stats.
Yeah.
But this year has just been. It's been completely different. And it's one of those reasons that, you know, the NBA is one of those sports. I think football is up there. And I think hockey could be up there, but less so. But I think baseball is the least,
mm-hmm.
where coaching matters.
Yeah.
Who you have at the helm really matters. And Tom Thibodeau is the perfect coach for Julius Randle. He completely changed the way he approaches the game for the most part. Like, the dude, he's made him a pass-first player. Like, when he needs to, he'll try to score, and he's been able to hit his shots a lot.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that too. But, like, he's become a passer, and he's become a guy you can trust to run your offense, and he's been a solid defensive player. I mean, he's been nowhere near a liability defensively like he's been the past couple of years. So, like, I mean, it's just been amazing what Tibbs has done with him.
Yeah, I don't even know if I'd say, like, he's, like, pass first now. Like, I don't know if you've seen, like, those, like, archetypes, like, I think Basketball Index uses to, like, label their players. I think, like, one of them just, like, offensive creator. And I think that's, like, perfect for what Randle is at this point. Because, like you said, right, he can just go in there, take a fadeaway jump shot, and, like, hit it every time, it feels like. But he also, like, now, compared to last year, like, he knows when to pass out. And, I mean, just, like, you were talking about his true shooting from last year was, like, 54%, I think. This year, it's up to 57%. And the crazy thing about that is his usage rate went up a couple decimal points, too. So it's not like he's, like, touching the ball less. He's, like, still on offense, like, that same amount. That usage is still there. He just improved his efficiency, like, all around.
Yeah. And, like, if you look at some of the earlier years of his career, his true shooting percentage was higher. And he also, in 2017-18 in L.A. and 2018-19 in New Orleans, his true shooting percentage was higher. It was in the 60s. And his usage rate was, in 2018-19 in New Orleans, it was exactly what it has been this year. And then in the year before, it was 2 points lower. So it's not like this is completely different, but it's, I genuinely just believe, like, it's just, it's different in terms of how it's contributing to wins. Like you said, like, his defensive, defensive BPM is positive for the first time of his entire career. And I mean, offensively, the dude has just really been able to get it done. And I mean, he's averaging right now 23 points, 10.8 rebounds, and 5.8 assists. He's also averaging 37 minutes a game because it's Tibbs, and also because his backup, Obi Toppin, has been beyond atrocious. But just when you think about it, it's – I mean, he's – physically, the dude is like – I mean, Enes Kanter said that Zion was Julius Randle with hops, and that was like, you know, big diss. But like, Julius has cut down to the point where like, this dude is one of the most like athletic guys, like in terms of his size and his speed and everything like that in the league. Like, he really is. So like, there aren't that many guys who can do what he can do at his size. And it's just, it's really amazing to see. And he's getting, and I don't think that he's reached his ceiling. I mean, he's 26 years old. Like, yeah. You know, guys hit their prime around now, but he's still got room to grow. And the Knicks' offense has been downright horrible this year. Like, it has. They're winning games because of their defense. But I'm still not completely sold that Julius Randle cannot run a championship offense. I think right now they have horrible weapons around him. RJ Barrett's been great, but. And Reggie Bullock has not. I mean, he's not a great scorer. Mitch can't score for his life, and Elfrid Payton. Yeah, like you still need guys who can finish when he finds them, because he's finding open guys. They're just not hitting their shots. So I'm fully like, and I don't think we're gonna get him. But a guy like Devin Booker in a couple of years, who can score the ball in his hand, but also would be the perfect guy just to get open in a Julius Randle run offense. Like, I'm not completely sold that Julius Randle cannot run a championship offense. Like, are you?
I don't know. It's weird because, like, this is, like, the first year, at least on the Knicks, right, where you've seen him with, like, somewhat of, like, another offensive threat. I think, like, Alec Burks, right, he can create his own shot at least, compared to, like, last year where we were, like, watching him trying to do everything. I think there's like a couple routes I think you could take with Randle where you try to get someone like equal to him or like a little better, like where you mentioned like Booker, right? And have him like a 1A, 1B type of situation. Yeah. Or I think, which this is the more ideal route, you get a like a bona fide superstar. And you make Randle like a clear two, someone that you can like swap in, like the Nets do, right? With like Kyrie and Harden, like they swap minutes a lot. So like one guy's creating offense all the time. I think something like that would work out a lot better than having like someone like Randle play with a guy like Booker. I don't know like how well, I'm sure Booker's great off the ball too, like he's a great shooter and everything, right? But
I'm just the thing I'm a bit worried about is I don't trust Randle at all if he's not the guy creating. I just don't think he's a good enough offensive scorer like, you know, he's not a great, I mean, his 3-point percentage is in like the 40s this year, which is absolutely insane. But I just don't trust him really as the off-ball guy. And so I would like a guy – like, the reason Booker came to mind is because you know the dude can just drain three from anywhere. Yeah. And like you said, you can take Randle out and keep Booker in.
Yeah.
And then,
that's like the main problem the Knicks have right now, right? They don't have another guy that can create a shot consistently on offense. No.
Yeah. I mean, Barrett has gone a lot better. Yeah. But even Barrett, you know when he – And Barrett has been doing a good job of, you know, he drives and then kicks it out. It's just really, this team just doesn't have shooting.
Yeah.
And in this league, and when you have guys who can drive and have a defense collapse on them and then kick it out, you need guys who can hit the three. And yeah, I just think that that is what they need is a guy who can complement Randle. Like, Booker keeps coming to mind, but a guy who can hit threes, like a guy who can drain threes with ease and create his own shot. And there aren't that many guys like that, but that's the guy that I think could put this team to the next level, and where you can take Randle out of the game, leave that guy in, and then like you can have them start together, and then they don't touch the court together until midway through the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But you always have one of them on the floor.
Right.
So neither of them are exhausted. And they're both ready for that last 6 minutes. And then in those last 6 minutes, they can play well together still. So, like, it's just – it is hard to find. I was very worried about that with Kyrie and Harden. Like, I thought that their skill sets were just the exact same. And like, I was like, I don't know how they're going to play together. And they play great together because I mean, each of them have become pretty good off ball.
Yeah, no.
So that's what the Knicks need, a guy who can and wouldn't mind, you know, going off ball and letting Randle run the offense and helping Randle. I mean, Bradley Beal is another guy who comes to mind who can. Yeah. Dude, this just came to mind real quickly though, but Russell Westbrook is so bad.
It's awful.
Like, he went, I think he basically is the first player in 25 years to go like 0 for 8 and have 6 fouls in the same path. Like, just absolutely insane. Like, he was always overrated. I think everyone knew that. Like, when he, you know, triple double seasons were not as impressive as, you know, they seemed to be because they couldn't win.
16, right? That was like a really good year. Like, he was amazing that year. But then afterwards, I don't know what happened to his career. His free throw shooting's gotten a lot worse. Plus, like, I don't know. It's weird because, like, he plays like such a high intensity, like high motor, right? I think it benefit him just to like slow down.
Well, and I think what the other thing is he lost the step.
Yeah.
Like, he had that high intensity, high motor, and he could also beat anyone with that first step.
Right.
Like, he was quicker. He was strong. He was so athletic. And now he just got a little older, and he was never a good enough, skilled enough player to. Like, he won because of his athleticism, but once he lost that little, once his athleticism went from 10 out of 10 to 9 out of 10.
Hit him a lot.
It killed his career. I mean, the dude he makes them worse. Like, honestly, yeah. I think I'd so much rather just have Bradley Beal with, like, I don't even, with John Wall. Like,
yeah.
That trade was not, they lost that trade. Like,
yeah,
like John Wall was better with Bradley Beal than Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to watch. Just going back to Julius, though, like, we talked about, like, his impact, right? Using like a lot of like the new impact metrics, I know like 538 has theirs, it's called Raptor. He's above 5 this year. He's at 5.11. his previous high in his career was -0.09.
That's insane,
right?
Where is that, like, where is 5.01 rank? Do you have
I do not have that up right now.
I'll try to find that, but
yeah, but like anyways, and the best part about it, right, we mentioned earlier, he's contributing on, like, offense and defense. Like, his Raptors split evenly between, like, offense and defense, which, like, you don't see that much. It's a guy that's, like, balanced in his game. I think RJ, right, I don't know if he becomes, like, that number two scoring threat just because how, like, I feel his game's like a slasher. He's getting a lot better shooting the three, though, so if that sustains, maybe he becomes number two, and you get like a 5-6 seed playoff team with like Julius, RJ, and a couple other bench guys.
As of right now, according to 538 Raptor War, he has 6.6, which ranks 5th in the league behind Nikola Jokic, who's at 9.9.
Jesus.
Then Kawhi, who's at 7.2, which is just insane how good Jokic has been.
Yeah.
Then Giannis, and then Fred VanVleet. Which
I like
just,
Fred. I like
shout
Fred.
Out Fred. Like, oh, that's pretty awesome. But yeah, I mean, obviously,
yeah, if you told
just wants that, but this is a bit. I mean, it matters. Like this
is huge. It's a good stat. Yeah. If you told me coming into this year, Julius Randle would be a top 10 player in the league by Raptor War, I would have smacked you just like on site.
He's been +2.5, +2.5 on offense then defense, which is around where Anthony Davis has been. Montrezl Harrell's there too, which is pretty surprising.
Yeah.
Fred VanVleet's around there, Jimmy Butler. I mean, he's been amazing. And it's just amazing to see what this dude has done. And I remember before the season started, I told my dad, I'm like, I hate Julius Randle. Because I watched more Knicks games last year than he did. Like, this year we've been watching a lot, but
yeah.
I don't even know if I have an opinion on him. I'm like, just watch him. He's the most infuriating player to watch. Because last year, you remember, he would just take the ball, drive into the paint, spin, go for a shot, miss. He wouldn't. Now he does that stupid spin move, but he passes it. And it works. Like, it's just something clicked in him. And then I remember the first possession of this year, he did that, the spin, and then missed. And my dad was like, oh, God, you're right. But then, I mean, the dude just—it's amazing, and it's so good for the Knicks, and I mean, it is so good for the culture. And you know, you can say what you want about, you know, culture doesn't matter, blah blah blah. It matters with the Knicks. This is a team who has been a laughingstock for years, and you know, they couldn't get any free agents despite being, you know, the Garden and the most popular team in the league, or one of them, top three. Like, and they couldn't get any free agents because everyone was like, you don't go to the Knicks to win. Like that's that, and Dolan and all this, but Dolan seems to have backed off outside of the whole, you know, throwing a fan out for wearing a t-shirt. So Dolan has seemed to back off a bit. And then after Dolan, it's like, it's just competence throughout the organization. And then Julius Randle is the kind of guy that you can tell guys, I mean, this free agent class isn't fantastic, but let's just say, let's dream for a second that Kawhi Leonard declines his option and he hits free agency and he's actually looking. I don't think he's actually going to be looking. I think he's going to decline the option and then just resign a giant deal.
Mm-hmm.
But let's say the Clippers lose in the first round, playoff P comes and all that stuff. You can go to Kawhi and the pitch of you will be able to play with Julius Randle is actually a good pitch. That's something that guys will be like, yeah, Julius looks good. RJ looks good. Quickly looks good. Like, this could be a fun team. Like, it's really amazing. And, I mean, Randle makes the guys around him better. And that's all you can ask for. And as the year's gone on, I've bought into him more and more. Where, like, when he was on the hot streak earlier in the year, I was banging the table to just trade him right then. Because, like, his value will never be higher. Like, you have OB, all this stuff. And now OB's been horrible.
Yeah.
And Randall's been amazing. And it's the guy. He's not the number one option on a winning team, clearly, because they are a 500 team and he's the number one option. But, I mean, just making him the number two option really could do wonders. Maybe not a championship contender with him as your number two. I think you could be a championship contender with him as your number two and RJ as your number four. I don't know where RJ's ceiling is. Maybe RJ.
I think RJ's a number three. Yeah.
RJ could be if he continues on trajectory.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, you just need RJ. I think his ceiling is really like a Jimmy Butler type.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just see that his defense has been amazing.
Yeah.
And now it's just like the Knicks are getting to that point where they are one piece away. Everybody can be quote unquote one piece away, but they're one, you know, top 10, 15 player. If they're able to get one, this team is a championship contender. And that is absolutely amazing. And the fact that it's not even like they had a wild offseason. Like, they didn't. They got quickly and they made a horrible draft pick in Obi and then they didn't sign anyone in free agency. Like, Alan Burks has been good, but it's like, it's just Julius Randle. It's Randle taking that jump and RJ taking that jump. And all of a sudden, this is a team that you are like excited for. And it's absolutely insane.
I think, like, the best way to sum it up is every time I turn on the Knicks game now, I don't think we're going to lose right away.
I think they're going to win. When they were down a bunch to the Wizards, it's just like this won't last.
I'm going to be completely honest. I turned that game off. That was hard. Wow. That first half. Plus, I had some homework.
I will admit, I did not watch first half because I was watching the Rangers win 8-3 against the Flyers, which was awesome. But... they went up. I turned it on with like 6 minutes left. They're down like four, because I checked the update and we were down like 17. And I was like, I'll follow along with it. It's just like they're a good, and I give a lot of credit to Tibbs. I think Tibbs is not a very good offensive coach, and I really would like to see them bring in some sort of like offensive specialist because they're just very uncreative sets offensively. I think it kind of what they're missing is a guy. I think Randall's a creator, but he's not the scorer that they need. He's not a guy that really late in the game, he's not a guy that I'm that comfortable with the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
Like if I have one guy taking a shot, there's no one on the Knicks that I trust to take that shot, and that's what they're missing. Which I think
it's like the same thing, right? They need a shooter. It's like that simple.
They need a shooter. They need shooters throughout the team.
Yeah.
But they need a shooter who can create. Like they need that star.
You're saying Taj Gibson at the one, right?
Like, of course.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, just want to make sure.
Taj, corner three specialist. That's a badge in 2K. The corner specialist. He has that Hall of Fame. Like that dude just does not miss from the corner.
Easy.
Dude, 5 years, 100 million.
The last thing, drafting Obi, man. Just you could have Devin Vassell like right there. Just like plug him in 3-and-D guy.
Dude, I don't want
to be as miserable about that as I am with the Giants. So I'm gonna.
Well, when you think about it, We took Quickly at 8, and we took Obi at 4. That's not that bad. He's the 24th overall pick is not supposed to be that good his first year.
Or you could add two good picks.
No, no, no. I mean, Obi
Adam is on the record saying you do not want two good picks.
you only want one pick. Dude, they're going to have two first-round picks again this year, and basically first in the Pistons pick. Yeah, Obi was just – and at the time, I did like the pick because – I really thought I thought Julius Randle sucked, and I thought we were gonna suck. But Obi was supposed to be, you know, this great scorer coming right out of college. I didn't care about the age. I was like, he'll be a fun scorer, and the dude is just lost offensively.
Yeah.
Yeah. Devin Vassell really would have been just a real nice pick. I mean, he's just a good 3-and-D guy. He's not. I don't think he's gonna be a star, but like last year, I think the difference between the last draft and this draft is. I mean, I wish the Knicks did have a top five pick this draft because it's amazing. But they're not gonna, and that's fine. Because, like, last year I was, like, always searching for the Knicks to get a star. And now I genuinely feel like the star will come via trade or free agency. And I think it's going to come in the next couple of years. And now it's just, like, if they have, like, the 12th pick, 13th pick this year, that's fine. This is a deep draft. Just get, you know, a 3-and-D guy and get depth pieces that you build the entire team and just waiting for that one spot. And that spot, I think, is going to come via trade or free agency in a couple of years. I don't know when. I don't know who. But I think that they are – they can now prepare for that. And it's not like – you know, when they trade KP to get that cap space, they put all their eggs in that basket. And if they didn't get that, they suck. Yep. But now it's like, you know, if you draft a couple of good depth pieces, you build this team. Next year, especially if RJ takes another continues progressing, like, you can fight for the 4 seed with or without that superstar. And you just wait to get that superstar, and then you become the championship contender. But it's not like, you know, we're waiting for 3 guys to hit the open market so we can sign them all. Like, we just need one dude to come here. The culture shift, I mean, it's really just a – I think Julius Randle is the most important. This jump by Julius Randle is the most important thing to happen to the Knicks in decades. Like, it really is. Like, you could probably argue since like the Patrick Ewing draft, like, this is the most important thing to make them a championship contender, because they were never a championship contender with Melo. They just weren't. Yeah. So like, since they won that lottery for Ewing, which is completely fair and not rigged, this is like this jump is what will expedite a championship quicker than anything that's happened, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So any final Julius Randle thoughts, trade thoughts, the draft thoughts for the Knicks or the NFL, those crazy trades?
I don't know. Just it's fun to watch the Knicks again. That's all I really care about. I don't care. I don't think they'll do well in the playoffs. So maybe make it as like a play-in team. Or if like a 6 seed at best, dude. But
they were Vegas had their over under the lowest in the 23 wins, I think. Like,
It's quite a turn. Like,
I mean, they can just squeak into the 7 seed and get the play-in game, and even if they get killed in the play-in game, like, it's okay. Like, it's different. It's awesome. So that's all we got today. We're gonna have a special guest next Monday. No, not next month. Yeah,
Monday.
This Monday.
There you go.
Yes, this Monday.
Words are hard. Words are hard.
Words are really hard, dude.
They're hard, man.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening, and stay tuned for that. And go Julius Randle.